Today I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. When I came to you, brother, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in the weakness and the fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. This is a word of the Lord.
All right, well, let's pray. Gracious God, Father of light, and Father of all your people, we're overjoyed to be here in your presence this morning and ask that as we read together that we not only hear words, but encounter the living God in our midst. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, well, this week it has felt like summer, has it not? And I guess it's fitting that this week we begin our summer series for Sunday mornings. This will carry us all the way basically to the end of August. I think to the end of August, yes. And the series is called Faithful Presence. You may have seen these three circles. How many people have seen them before? This close circle, the dotted circle, and the half circle. Okay, so we're going to spend more time with these circles this summer, talking about how they apply to all different areas of our life together as church community. So the first discipline, now these are seven disciplines. I added one. They come from a book called Faithful Presence by David Fitch. I think I've mentioned that to you before. I don't want to be accused of plagiarizing. I'm letting you know that I didn't steal, that I did. I'm not stealing it. I'm borrowing it with permission, or at least with citation, from David Fitch, but definitely not word for word. But his concept, I think, is so helpful for me to understanding how this life together relates to life at home and in the neighborhood and life out in the workplace and out in the world. It's a good construct for us to help understand and get it all in alignment, right? Because that's, I think, the goal of the Christian faith, to be integrated and whole and aligned in such a way that there is no part of our lives that isn't touched, overcome, and given over to our Lord Jesus. And so, all these disciplines, starting with proclaiming the gospel that we're talking about today, begin with the close circle, move into the dotted circle, and the half circle. And the close circle is our church community. That's where we are today. We're in the close circle together. It's not closed. Okay, there's intentionally not a D at the end of close. It looks like a closed circle, but we acknowledge that in this closed circle, we want more people to be part of it, right? We're not turning people away. We're not saying, you aren't allowed here. You aren't, you know, we're saying the church community is open to all who want to be a part of this church community. but It is sort of the place where things are closest and where they start and where these disciplines often begin, where we learn them and where we learn to practice them. And then we take them into our homes and into our neighborhoods, out into our own places of influence in the world, where we may invite people into our own homes, or we may have spaces where we are the host and other people are the guest, right? That is the home and the neighborhood. And then out in the world is where we go out into the place where somebody else is the host and we are a guest. And each one of these circles presents different challenges, right? Sometimes the close circle feels a little bit too close. Anybody ever been there? Like, just leave me alone. Has anybody ever wanted to say that? People who love and care for you, you just want to tell them to leave you alone because you want to be alone and depressed or sad or whatever it is. It happens, right? We push away the people who love us the most because, well, they care and they're there. They're the ones that are there. Now, that's a challenge, but that's a good problem to have, right? People who love you too much that they won't leave you alone. I mean, if I'm going to make a list of like bad problems to have versus good problems to have, that's a good problem to have. People who love me so much that they won't leave me alone. Home and neighborhood, right? There's challenges there. Increasingly in our society, we don't know our neighbors, right? Now, maybe you know your neighbors, but it's not as common to know your neighbors as it used to be. We can say that pretty clearly. And out in the world, we don't set the agenda. There's a lot of challenges out in the world. Sometimes other people have set agendas that we have serious problems with, right? There's a lot of things going on out in the world, and there are a lot of challenges. So as we're trying to practice these disciplines, there's challenges at every state, and yet this is so important. So I want to run through the disciplines real quick. These are the ones we're going to talk about. Today is proclaiming the gospel. We're going to talk about reconciliation next week. We're going to talk about the discipline of the Lord's table, which is not just for the close circle, but it goes out into the world. Being with the least of these. That phrase comes from Matthew 25, one of Jesus' parables. And it is a important kingdom practice. Being with children. We talked about this a couple months ago, but I want to spend more time with that concept about what Jesus promises in being with children. We're going to talk about the fivefold gifting from Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds. We're going to talk about the importance of that. We're talking about kingdom, prayer, and justice, and shalom. So, at the end of this summer, we'll have all of these things completely mastered. The kingdom of God will come in all of its fullness and glory, and hallelujah. Now, we're going to work on it, right? This is a lot to take in. This is a lot to get into, but these are important disciplines for the church. But again, today we're going to hone in on that first one, which is proclaiming the gospel. Proclaiming the gospel, often we think of that as evangelism, right? That word evangelism. And we just did this Blessed series where we were talking about how we can all become evangelists, and it doesn't have to be so scary. But it still is one of the easiest disciplines to dismiss because it's not my gift, or it's not our gift as a church, right? I don't do evangelism because I'm not gifted at it. I'm not good at it. I clam up. I have a hard time. I never come up with the right words. I get scared. I get skittish. I don't know who to talk to. I don't have any friends who don't know Jesus. The list goes on and on. And yet, how many of us would say, prayer, it's not my gift, so I don't have to do it. Worship, also not my gift, so I don't have to do it. If we as a church decided that worship was not our gift, we were not good at worshiping God, so we're just not going to do it, how many people would keep coming to Bretton Woods? And the question is, what would you be coming to? What would Bretton Woods be? Proclaiming the gospel is just as central to being a follower of Jesus as worship or prayer. And yet, some of us, some churches, we just don't do it because it's too hard. We don't know where to start, right? It is so central. It is an essential discipline, proclaiming the gospel. But we get scared, frightened, and we stop short because we think we have to be experts in order to do it. Do you think you have to be an expert to pray? No, I mean, most of us are fumbling through our prayers. Even me, you know, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the educated seminary guy, right? I fumble through prayers all the time. I don't know what the words to say all the time. And I can't always find the right book to give me the right words to say, right? And same with worship. None of us is experts at giving all of the glory and praise to God. But we keep doing it anyway. We keep doing it anyway. Just like proclaiming the gospel is something that even if we're not good at it right away, we keep doing it anyway. But what does it mean to proclaim the gospel? We first need to identify what is the gospel before we even get into the proclaiming of the gospel, right? I can tell you to proclaim the gospel all day long, but if you have no idea what the gospel is, how are you going to proclaim it, right? This is a fair critique. I've mentioned this before. I'm not sure if I've shared it with you or not, but one of my favorite research papers in seminary, it was a research project. You had to have at least 8 sources for a paper that was exactly this long. You had to write down what is the gospel in 60 words or less. Okay? So, and you had to have sources. It was like doing a research paper that usually, you know, ends up 12, 15, 20 pages. But in this case, you start with 12, 15, or 20 pages, and you're trying to get it down. All you turn in is 60 words and a bunch of footnotes. It was one of the hardest, but also one of my favorite projects, and the one that I'm probably the most proud of, and the one that I actually use here still, however many years out of seminary I am now. This is what I landed on. It came from several different sources of scripture, different theologians. This is what I came up with for what is the gospel. And this isn't about how we receive the gospel. This isn't necessarily like how everybody becomes a Christian. This is like what is the good news of Jesus, okay? So this is trying to name what is the good news of Jesus. God reconciles everything to himself, everything to himself, by sending Jesus Christ to absorb the sin and suffering of the world. I was at 61 words, so I used that hyphen to make sin / suffering one word, okay? Just so you know. to absorb the sin and suffering of the world through his death and make a new creation through his resurrection, empowering the believing community with the Holy Spirit to bless the world with God's truth and love towards the renewal of all things at our Lord's return. The story of good news begins and ends with reconciliation and renewal. God reconciles everything to himself through Jesus. And the end goal is the renewal of all things. In Revelation 21, we have a new heavens and a new earth. All things are made new. Christ proclaims, "Behold, I am making all things new." That story is enacted through Jesus Christ, through God the Father, through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not expecting you all to memorize this. What's that? What's that?
Did you get an A or a B?
Oh, yeah. I got an A on it, actually. Thanks, Doug. Yeah. God reconciles everything to himself by sending Jesus Christ to absorb the sin and suffering of the world through his death, to make a new creation through his resurrection, empowering the believing community with the Holy Spirit to bless the world with God's truth and love toward the renewal of all things at our Lord's return. Proclaiming any portion of this story counts as proclaiming the gospel, okay? Right? We're not going to be able to proclaim the whole story every time. Every time I sit down with somebody and I want to share the gospel with them, I'm not going to walk through creation, fall, redemption, and eschatology, and Christ returning, and all that stuff. The gospel can be made manifest in people's lives, and I can proclaim the gospel in people's lives without telling the whole story every time. Now, eventually, everybody needs to receive that whole story, right? But if we try to tell the whole story every single time, guess what happens? Fire hose. We knock them over, right? And it can be a bad experience if you just overwhelm somebody with everything you know about God and the Bible the first time they indicate some sort of interest, right? We can see it as an invitation and just pounce, right? Now, I don't see very many of you who are like pouncers, who are jumping on people and trying to like twist their arm to come to know Jesus. So maybe we need a little bit more fire, but I'm just saying, don't feel pressured to share all of that every time you talk to somebody or you're trying to bear witness to the gospel in the world, right? Okay. So I'm going to break this up into two sections. The what we see section and the what's behind it all section. What we see begins with God reconciles everything to himself. If you see reconciliation happen, it's Father's Day, between father and son, between father and daughter, that is a demonstration of the gospel. You can point that out. Like, I see Jesus at work in what's happened in your life, right? That is Christ at work in that reconciliation. God is moving. You can see that. You can bear witness to it. You can see it. And you can declare it. We see the sin and suffering of the world absorbed. When you see somebody's suffering taken away, when you see somebody set free, able to forgive themselves maybe for the first time, set free of guilt and crippling shame that has like just locked them up, made them depressed, made them unable to function. When you see that happen, guess who's behind that all? God. Whether they know it or not, God is at work in their lives. So we see sin and suffering being absorbed by God. We see it removed from people's lives. A new creation. A new creation can be so many different things. It can be somebody who was stumped by a problem and came up with a new way to solve it. Oh, that was a new creation. You found a new way to go about something. It can be, I mean, we can witness it just in our gardens this time of year, the miracle of something, of new life, of growth, of something that we can eat or enjoy its beauty. When we see, I mean, the most drastic example is when we see somebody who was locked in some old ways become open to something new, become open to life. We see a new creation. When we see the believing community empowered, whether it's an official church function or whether it's just people, believers, doing good in the world, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. Or when we see a believing community getting along, we see a believing community fighting clean and fair, disagreeing and yet continuing to live in community together, right? These are the ways that the believing community demonstrates the gospel out into the world. Blessing the world, right? When we see the world blessed. Man, there's so many ways you can see the world blessed, right? I mean, you can see, there's stories all over the place. People that go out of their way to help somebody else, Right? I know people in this church who make it their mission every single day to do something significant for somebody else every single day. That's their mission. And they do it. And I've been thankful to be the recipient of some of those blessings, right? But whenever the world is blessed, that's God at work. And again, the renewal of all things. The renewal of all things begins with the renewal of some things, right? It doesn't happen all at once, but when we see old things becoming new, when we see renewal, when we see forgiveness, when we see life, these are signs of God at work. What's behind it all? What's behind the reconciliation? God. What's behind all the sin and suffering being absorbed, being taken away? It's Jesus Christ. What is behind the new creation? It is the death of Christ. What is behind the new believing community? Christ's resurrection and the Holy Spirit. What is behind any blessing of the world? God's truth and love. And what is behind the renewal of all things? It is the Lord's return that will ultimately bring the renewal of it all. You see, I divided this into two things because we see certain fruits out in the world. Sometimes we don't agree as to where it came from. But I'm telling you that you can know when you see good things happening in the world, when you see renewal, when you see new creation, when you see sins and sufferings removed, when you see all of those manifestations of the gospel at work, I'm telling you that you can be confident in knowing that God is behind it somehow. Whether the other person knows it or not, I'm telling you, the Bible is telling you that God is behind it. So part of proclaiming the gospel is just knowing that. Now, you may not be able to convince everybody that God is behind the good things that are at work in their lives. They may have a different name for what's going on. Right? And the conversation may continue with those people. Right? But what's behind it all is the triune God making it all happen. We doing all right? Are you guys drinking from the fire hose right now? I haven't blown anybody's heads off with the... Okay, good. Everybody seems to be alive. Good. All right. Just a little bit more. Proclamation is about description and demonstration. Presence precedes proclamation. I just wanted to write that because, man, three PR words in a row. It's just some beautiful alliteration. Presence precedes proclamation. This is basically why we spent 5 weeks doing bless. Be means begin with prayer. L means listen with care. E means eat together. S means serve with love. And the second S is share your story. Prayer, listening, eating together, serving. These are all presence-oriented. Well, serving is action-oriented. But those first three are all about presence. Presence precedes proclamation. We got to be present in people's lives. We got to be present in order to proclaim the gospel. And part of proclaiming the gospel eventually comes to sharing your story. Sharing your story. Sharing the story of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Sharing the story of what the whole triune God has done in your life. Showing how God has reconciled you to himself, how God has empowered you with the Holy Spirit, how God has made you a new creation, how the gospel has taken root in your life. That is the story that you proclaim. That is the story that you live. That is the story that you take with you. So proclaiming the gospel is often quite descriptive. It's not necessarily you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. It is. This is what the world is like. This is what my world is like under Jesus as Lord. You're painting a picture. You're telling a story. You're offering a new interpretation of events. You may offer a different interpretation of what's going on in somebody else's life. They may feel like they're hopeless and spiraling out of control, and you may say, oh, but I see God's hand at work in what's going on right now. See, you went through this, and you went through this, and you went through this, and maybe God has brought you to a place where you can finally receive healing now. And we can boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus in those moments, the good news of the hope of God, the God who wants to reconcile and restore and renew. And this comes with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. See, again, it's ironic that one of the things that cripples us from evangelism is the fact that we're afraid that we're not experts. But what did Kathy read for us? Starting in verse 2, this is the Apostle Paul. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if you feel like you're a know-nothing, if you feel like you do know nothing anyway, you're in a great spot because Paul had to actually intentionally know nothing. Now, none of you know nothing. You all know something. You all know a lot. But I'm just saying, don't let it stop you if you feel like you don't know everything, because guess what? Knowing everything is not the point. In fact, it is an intentional strategy to know nothing for Paul. To know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The story of Jesus dying for us. That's like the central moment, the central act, the thing on which the whole gospel turns, right? Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. We don't need to come in trying to share our faith. We don't need to come with answers. We don't need to come with strength. We don't need to come with a supreme confidence. We can come with weakness and fear and trembling. And again, we're in good company. We're with the Apostle Paul, who planted and served most of the early churches that spread the gospel and are the reason that we have churches today, right? So we're in good company, right? Are we okay that we're in good company with the Apostle Paul? Could we agree on that? Okay. Weakness, fear, and trembling. Those aren't bad things. Those aren't things that should stop us. Those are things that should say, oh, I guess I'm ready to share the gospel. I feel weak, I'm afraid, I'm trembling, and I don't know anything. If you're feeling that way, the time is now. The iron is hot. Strike. It's kind of a joke, but seriously, it might mean that you're ready. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Not with wise and persuasive words. If you don't feel very persuasive and you don't feel very wise, again, might be signs that you're ready to share the gospel. But this is what it comes with, a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith, the person that you're talking to, the person you're trying to share the gospel with, that their faith might not rest on human wisdom, on your own cleverness, but on God's power. And how does God's power demonstrate itself? It's when we willingly have a conversation with somebody with fear and weakness and trembling and not wise words and not a polished script and not all the right things to say, but we come willingly with Christ and him crucified. That's how the Spirit's power moves through us. That's pretty good news, right? It means I don't have to have it all perfect. It means incompetence doesn't have to paralyze me. If I feel incompetent, great, perfect. Because what we're offering is not something that we conjure ourselves. It is the power of the Spirit of God. So, proclaiming the gospel is a discipline. It's something that we do. It's something that we can do and we ought to do, just like prayer is something that we ought to do, just like reading our Bible, just like giving alms is something we ought to do, just like so many things about the Christian faith are things that we ought to do, so is proclaiming the gospel. Don't put it on a whole nother level of, oh, only the super Christians do that. Only the perfect people who have the perfect stories do that. No. You know who does that? The weak, the unwise, the trembling, and the fearful. And you know what? The Spirit's power works. So in the close circle, the gospel is proclaimed, hopefully, if I'm doing my job, weekly, when we gather here. If I'm doing my job, the gospel is being proclaimed here, week in and week out. And again, it's not the whole story necessarily each week, but we're proclaiming the renewal of all things. We're proclaiming sin and suffering being removed. We're proclaiming the restoration and reconciliation, the new creation. If you're hearing those things week in and week out, you're receiving the good news. It's being proclaimed in the close circle. In the dotted circle, in our homes, we are proclaiming the gospel in our own homes, with our own families, to our own spouses, to our own significant others, to our own children, to our own parents, to our own whoever it is that we interact with day to day, to our neighbors. We get to show and proclaim where Jesus is Lord all over our neighborhood. Somebody shares a story, we might notice, oh, God is behind that. God is at work there, and we have a chance to proclaim the gospel there. Again, not every proclamation of the gospel is going to be like, will you please pray to receive Jesus with me? Hopefully, you know, maybe eventually they get to that point, but all we do is proclaim. Oh, Christ is at work right here and now in your life. Wow, I see this, and I'm going to pray that he continues to work and continues to do that. Okay. And in the half circle, we got to continue to practice faithful presence as guests who bless. Remember those simple things. Begin with prayer. Listen with care. Eat together. Serve with love. Share your story. And then go back to eating together, because that's going to be your favorite one. And then you go eat together again. And while you're eating together, you listen with care, and eventually you share your story, and you eat together again, and you pray some more, and you pray some more, and you pray some more, and you serve with love, and you eat together, and you eat together, and you share your story, and you listen with care, and you eat together. Right? You don't have to do it in order, because once these relationships form, you are getting into people's lives. Many of you know I've been hanging out at a coffee shop in town, minimum of 2 days a week for several months now as an intentional practice of trying to get involved in people's lives who are outside of the church. And I was just informed this week that if this coffee shop were to be a sitcom, that I would be one of the regular characters on the show. See, I was informed of this. So, you know, it's a funny thing, but it's also a sign that I have gone from being a guest to like part of what's going on there, right? That I'm not just like this interloper who comes in and you know, but that I've listened, that I've cared, that we've eaten together and drank coffee together a whole lot, because that's the whole thing of what's happening there. And I'm getting to share my story more and more, and I'm hearing more and more stories all the time. Faithful presence provides opportunities for gospel proclamation. So let's look for those opportunities. Let's go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus. One little event at a time, one little sign of God's goodness, one little sign of the gospel taking hold at a time. Proclaim it, name it, work on it, practice it, get it wrong, be incompetent, be unwise, be foolish, but be focused on the gospel. And guess what? The Spirit's power can move through every single one of you. I know he can. He does. He's moved through me and he's moved through you. He's already moving through you and he will continue to move through you. So let's pray. Mighty God. It is our desire to be conduits and vessels of your Holy Spirit, that your good news may be demonstrated through our lives. So, Lord, grant us courage. Grant us faithfulness. Grant us wisdom. And even if we don't feel wise, just give us the words to say in the moment. Give us your Holy Spirit. And may we trust that you will work through every one of us as we proclaim your good news in this world that you so love, that you sent your Son to live, to die, to conquer death, and to rise again for. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.